Good morning. I am Junichi Uekawa, and welcome to everyone who has dared to wake up in the morning after a long sauna session and come back to a talk on shared libraries. Usually, I am a Debian developer who maintains audio-related packages, and I'm interested in that kind of thing. But also, I've deviated from there to QA and other things, including pBuilder and library packaging guide. I would like this both session to be where I kind of finalize the shared library packages guide, which I have been playing with about like last 3 years. And I would like to present you a tutorial on shared library packaging. Well, shared library packaging has been, for the last century, it was a Kerbal mastery where only the Kerbals could do, and a newbie developer could not ever do any shared library packaging because it was something very cable. And that's going to change with the shared library packaging guide, which emerged in this century, and we have a century of liberated shared library packaging. Okay. Okay, so who I am? I'm mainly doing audio and distributed computing and Debian quality maintenance and some localization in Japanese. And I am not a hardcore shared library package maintainer, but I do maintain a few shared library packages. And I hope I have been picking up on shared library topics for like past 3 years on things that were discussed in Debian DevDel, and I would like to convey to you the results. Okay, so that was the last century. It was the cable forging shared libraries. There are people who are just randomly building packages, and they said, when asked, how do you create shared libraries, master? And he would just say, hey, you're too young, just go on find something else to do. And in the past, shared library packages were very much named in an ad hoc basis. There was not much very much rules in naming them. They were most were named lib something zero without any regards to whether the surname was zero or something. And that kind of had to change with the introduction of GNOME and GTK, where they had to change the surname so often. And they made the surname so long and complex that we had to have some kind of system to maintain them. Okay, and I would like to talk about the background knowledge. I hope everyone knows this by now, but source code is built by GCC. How many people knew that? Great. Okay, so we are on the same ground. And GCC outputs some kind of assembly and gas, process it to make an object. An object is processed by LD to create an executable file. And in this, we have this operating system called Debian GNU Linux, which supports shared libraries. And did you know that? Great. OK, so we have an executable, but that is not actually complete. We need the shared libraries linked to the executable to be run at runtime. So what happens is that there's the funky thing called ld.so, which collects all the shared libraries when executable is started, and it kind of relocates everything, and you have a complete executable file. And you have a binary running. So the problem and background of the problem is that you don't really know what shared libraries are linked to and what kind of symbols are loaded until you actually run the program. So that's the lovely thing about shared libraries. Okay, And I would like to mention a little bit about Shared Library Package Guide and its history. It was started in 2002 as a response to, go back, you're too young to package share libraries. And well, there were many problems, and I was watching Debian bugs this mailing list, and there were many problems happening, like missing symbols in shared library who, this binary crashes when shared library package operates, that kind of problems. And I collected references to the bug reports and kind of categorized them into a list and added comments on how to avoid that situation. And that's how Shared Library Packaging Guide evolved into the current shape. It has been going on for the last 3 years because there are things which change. And I hope it's been useful to a few people. How many people actually read Shared Library Packaging Guide? Oh, great. Thank you. How many people actually used it? Okay, nice. How many people actually hate it? Oh, okay, that was a trick question. Okay, and in the 3 years that with the Shared Library Package Guide, there are some events, like we had a larger scale introduction of version symbols into Debian. Version symbols wasn't very much used at the beginning. It was probably only used in glibc. And I think it's coming mainline that debugging symbols in separate objects is becoming mainline. I don't know. And people introduced pre-linking. So there are a few things that changed while Library Packaging Guide is being evolving. And it's not actually catching up yet. And the problems with shared libraries can be summarized as keeping a stable API and using DLOpen and the implications of dynamically loading shared libraries and coexisting multiple versions. Because when you have multiple versions of shared library, you have to know which version to load and which version actually works with the shared library. And I think the remaining things that needs to be done with the library package guide is to be, there needs to be some policy documentation. So reflect things back to policy on how to name development packages. How many people know that it's actually, you don't really have a rule for naming development library packages? Because there actually isn't a set rule, and you don't really have a guideline, except for the library packaging guide. And it would be nice if there was a dev helper like tool for shared libraries. How many people is maintaining shared library and think that a dev helper does not do enough work for me? Okay, because dev helper doesn't really do too much work. It does some, but not everything. And I've hacked a tool called dshlibs, which does more work, but it's not going into dev helper yet, or maybe never. And currently, how many people is maintaining shared library using version symbols? Okay. Don't you think that you have to do too much typing and updating? Yeah? There's too many to do. So I think because it's something routine work you have to do every time. So it should be simplified. Okay. And that's the topics. Is there any questions regarding to the topics? I would like to just jump into a tutorial on making a shared library, because I don't think there are many tutorials on how to make shared library using autoconf, automake, and libtool. And this is a very short tutorial, and if you want to make a shared library, it's very nice. And I will distribute a table of this example code. It's very small, so it would be nice to see. If you have config.ac, start with these components. If you're doing autoconf, you have to start with AC init, and well, you probably want some of them, the automake initialization. And you need to add the AC proc libtool to add check for libtool. And that's it. And you have some things missing from the below, but that's generated by default, so it's not much problem. And if you have makefile.am, you have libLT libraries, which is libshare.la. You specify the name of the libtool archive file, which is in the extension of .la. And that will, by libtool, be that's the name you give to libtool, and libtool will create the .so files and .a files. And if you specify to automate that libLT libraries is libshare.la, that means automate will try to make libshare.la. And you specify the flags you give to the automate on the second line, libshare.la LD flags, and you specify the versioning information. The obvious and basic version you can start off with is 0:0:0, and that'll create a shared library with .so.0.0.0. And you probably specify the include directories, and you probably have a header file to specify as your prototype for the library. And you have the libshared sources list, which is the list of sources for the shared library. And how many people are used to automake? Okay, only about half. So it would be useful to say that when it says libshared, you can replace with your shared library name. It's not something stuck. And you have this makefile.am, and you run auto-make and auto-conf, and you make a configure script and make files. And there are a few things that are controversial in this make file, and that is use of release and version info. Release and version info makes different kinds of soul names. And version info is more of a conservative one. And release gives a very different approach, that it makes a different soul name for every release you give. And if you're doing some very new project, it might be easier to just use release, because soul name grows so often and you really don't bother with compatibility. And for version info, the first number is the most important, so be careful to change it when you're actually changing the shared library interface. And when you have the source code, you can have the source code write your functions, which are going to be shared as a shared library, and the header file should define the declarations. Okay, any questions on the autoconf automake? That was all I have for the autoconf and automake upstream source code. Yes?
So just a small issue. Your son
just a nitpick, really. Your example of autoconf.ac file, it uses the old syntax. It works perfectly, but there's a newer syntax that works a bit better. But
oh yes,
just that.
It is a newer syntax, and I wanted to know the newer syntax rather than the old syntax.
I'll talk to you later then.
Okay. Yeah. I'll repeat if you.
Thanks for the tutorial that I would have liked to have had it when I started building shared, like, and maintaining shared libraries. And at least now, people are not going into the same try to find things that I went through. And a question about using dash release. I've never seen it, so I'm interested, especially because I maintain very fast-changing libraries. But if that hooks the soname to the version of the library, doesn't that mean that the binary package has to go through new every time I upload a new version?
Yes, it does mean that.
Okay.
And that's the problem. People try to avoid it by not changing the package name, but that's not really a good solution.
So we actually have a problem, a problem I really care about. I stopped making shared libraries because of this problem, and I do all static, and it's a nightmare anyway.
Yes, static is currently a better solution because we have an overhead at FTP master for changing package names. So it's not, you know, that's a problem with the Debian infrastructure and how we organize things. So the thing is that for new emerging libraries which changes interfaces, one recommended action is to use release option and change the soul name every release so that you would change the package binary package name and require every package to be rebuilt against the new shared library. But that means that it is more work for FTP master. And that is one problem I'm seeing as. And I'm not sure how to solve that. Yes?
I have a question. Are there any automated tools to check that you haven't accidentally changed the ABI or something?
Yes.
Andrew Suffield has iCheck, which he's working on. Sorry, I don't want to. Is this on? Okay. Okay. Anyway, I don't want to steal your thunder. Mm-hmm. Andrew Suffield has a tool called iCheck that he's been working on, and apparently it's already somewhat functional, and he's trying to make it even more so. He says there's an older tool called ABI Check, which is.
All right. So Brandon suggested there was a tool called iCheck by Asafield. Nice. And that can be used for ABI checking. Yes?
Could you explain the pronouncement of version with a special meaning?
The question was that if I could explain the three numbers in the versioning, they have some meaning, but I don't really much care about them. So I don't really know. The first one is some major version or something, and the other is age and something to specify that you have compatible interfaces for several versions. But I'm not quite sure if you're really able to maintain that kind of detailed information if you're striving to work out what kind of ABI is stable or not. So it's not really practical or useful, in my opinion. It's too difficult. Yes?
Someone was doing a really neat work utility that detected all ABI changes automatically. So we could use that with an automated degree of certainty. The first name is the first number is the full ABI number. The second is the minor revision, and the third is the last time you broke the ABI. It subtracts them in a weird way and generates the usual increase only when things break backwards numbers we are using for ld.su. It works really well. After you read about 20 pages of money info about how to use that.
Okay. So that was a question answered. Okay, so I've discovered that there is an ABA checker, and that's nice to hear. Pardon? Oh, it's not finished. So it's not unfinished ABA checker, which could appear very soon. Okay. I will explain about these loops to which I have written as an example implementation of what is written in shared library packaging guide. I think it's used by a few people, not many. But it breaks sometimes, but it's mostly working. The goal of these shellheads is to facilitate the use of the output of object dump on a binary. The ELF headers of a binary, of the shared library, has enough information so that we can extract the Debian control, the required information for Debian control to be extracted from a shared library. And really, it should be automated in such a way that Debian control doesn't have to be sort of synchronized by hand to what the shared library itself is. So it's one way of going. And what it does is that it looks at the .so file, and with a set magic, it creates a shared library package name and a development package name, and checks for Debian control so that the package names match. And it also generates a list of, from the list in the needed section of the shared library package, you can find that the shared library package which this needs, and construct a list of development packages it should probably depend on, and creates a devlib depends, just like the shellibs depends. And it's been maintained for 3 years, and can I advertise it now? And the guts of the devlib shellibs is that you will check the Debian control is matching what it says on the .so file. And it will also do the moving around of files, which you will usually do manually in your DH install or dev helper scripts. So, and it will create the list of dependencies on devlibs depends. So the development library dependency, which you might be doing manually, is somewhat automated. There are weaknesses in dhlibs in that it depends on the shared library packages and development library packages being named in a consistent manner. So it would be better if we had a policy on how to name them. Okay, is there any question on dhlibs? Yep.
Okay. For all of the shared library packages that I've had anything to do with over the years, which is mostly exclusively stuff related to the X Window system, I've gotten into the habit after what Ben Collins did with glibc of adding a dash dbg or debug version of the shared library, which is unstripped and placed in user lib debug. Does dshlibs have support for helping people do that automatically as well?
Actually, it doesn't have support for that currently, and I'm working on it. And I'm working on the split debug symbols.
Oh, well, yeah, support. We should be able to have those with GDB now, shouldn't we?
Yes.
So the nature of debug library packages will change.
Yes. Okay. And I was thinking of, because debug packages are different packages, I was thinking it might be better just dump it into dev packages, because it would create too many packages for shared library.
Yes, I know the archive maintainers are concerned about what would happen if everybody shipped an unstripped debugging shared library. So they haven't given me too much trouble, but but I mean, you know, if everybody did it, you know, GNOME and KDE, things would start to become pretty large. So do you know what the status of the split debugging symbol support is generally?
No, I have no idea. Does anyone know about the status?
So that's the kind of thing I think we should, you know, try to get moving on early in the Edge cycle so that we can have a chance of having something, you know, complete by the time we release. No? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep.
What's the merit of using object dump instead of LDD?
As opposed to LDD, object dump gives you the SO name field, which I want. And for the needed things, instead of LDD, I am using object dump because it will miss the indirect dependencies. And I don't want everything to be there.
But LDD prints out the exact path name for the current build environment. Mm-hmm. So I think dpkg shell libdevs uses LDD, so it's nice way. How about this idea?
Okay, so the idea is to use LDD for the full path and find the package names which contain the full path. But actually what they point to is the name of the runtime shared library packages, not the development packages. So the main problem is that we don't really know which development packages is connected to the shared library packages. They may be created from the same source package, but we don't really know. And we don't have a naming rule which is enforced to mechanically determine. So that's one problem, and it's not improved by using LDD over object dump. Yes?
Well, for consistency's sake, shouldn't we have that anyway? We should try and have, you know, a simple rule that somebody can find the name of the dev package. I don't think there's any good reason for not having the dev package have a different name to the library.
Unfortunately, I think most people do this, but we have one particular legacy package which gives us a bit of trouble, and that's called libc. Because it's named different things on different architectures, and it can be kind of tricky to deal with.
Well, I think it would be a good time after more than 10 years of Debian development. It might be a time to agree on name of the development library packages. I mean, we've been going on for more than 10 years. Yeah, maybe time. Okay. I want to talk about version symbols. You have to write a script like that and maintain it yourself. It's not too bad, but do you really have to do it?
Yeah.
The comment was that,
Well, official support on libtool would help sending things upstream, and version symbols is the kind of thing you want to be equal everywhere, so upstream is the real place to have it done. I had upstream of some widely used libraries such as Shiro's SASL. Tell me that they would accept version symbols upstream only if libtool supported it. suddenly.
Okay. But I really would like if it's there's like a tool. I mean, it looks like we can really automate it, generating this script. So it might be nice to just hack on some script. Yes. Well, I could, from looking at that now, I could imagine about 10-line shell script to create it. So it should be simple. Yeah. Okay, yeah. We had problem with the GNOME had initially had problems with having multiple development versions of shared libraries. They solved the problem with having pkg config scripts to find the path to exact version of the shared libraries. How many people actually have the mastery of writing pkg config scripts? Okay, not many. it should be simple looking at the examples. You can find a user lib package config.pc, but I don't really know how to write them. So it'd be very nice if you could sort of give me some clue. I can include it in library packaging guide. That might help, or some pointer. Oh, another thing I would like to note of as in shared library is that the internationalization is slightly different because you need to use dget text instead of get text. And that's because you're a shared library. You can be called from any program. And that any program may set any domain when you're calling. So you have to set your own domain when you're calling your calling get text to get the text. How many people actually don't have a clue what get text is? Okay.
Don't?
Okay. So please, it would be very much of an advantage for everyone if you learn to use get text.
Yeah, please do.
I tried to test get text and get text dies, but yesterday it didn't work very well, so I'm not sure how to do it actually. Okay. Okay. And as a feature of my work, I'm considering of still continuing to maintain shared library packaging guide, maybe add it to the Debian doc. And it is written in DocBook XML, and it is a guide, but it is also a torture test for XML toolchains, like XML editors. And yes. And if you have any problem, please let me know so that I can include it in the shared library packaging guide. It's getting like a nice portal for people working with shared libraries, so we can get information there. It's kind of central information. And as with Debian, it's very big. It's very, everything's open. Everyone communicates. But we don't know how to get to the information. So I like the way that shared library packaging guide is somehow, well, I'm doing it, but it came on like this. And if you have the motivation, it would be very nice if you could do it for your own pet projects so that people will benefit from it. I mean, Debian, yes?
Well, I mean, I had a comment to make.
Yes?
But, first of all, I found the packaging, the library packaging guide to be very useful and enlightening. Okay. And I was wondering if to increase its visibility, why not include it as part of like the new maintainer's guide or some other, you know, documentation? I think we have too many little pieces of documentation everywhere, you know, that are hard to find sometimes. So it would be better to like have like one maybe Debian developer's guide or something that covers everything. Yeah, or the developer's reference to, you know, some more visible location.
Okay. I think it's already referred to in developer's reference, so it's good enough.
Yeah, I was about to make the same comment in a different way. I was about to ask you,
yes.
Is libpkg guide easy to translate? Do you consider converting it to PO format? You know, XML is not easy to translate, I consider.
The reason I've not translated into Japanese yet is that I don't have a good working Japanese toolchain to translate it, to get Japanese text into PDF and other kind of thing. So, and it's a usual format, like DocBook, like Debian Doc. So it's same. And for PO format, I don't like working with PO formats with large documentation because they kind of reorder things. And
some translators also don't use a PO format for XML translation. But it may help to maintain, actually, more easily. But post a call for translation and make it more visible. Actually, it's a part of making it more visible. If you include it in developer's reference, it will be more visible and it will be translated, actually. So it's about the same comment than Java.
Okay.
Or at least try to get it into the Debian doc infrastructure, which is already available.
Actually, there's already a directory in Debian doc infrastructure. There's no makefile because I haven't figured out how to build it. Well, I haven't got around to it yet.
I guess if you're going to visit Frank's talk, which is going to happen as next, about the website roundtable, it might be possible to discuss this sort of problem there.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Any further questions?
Okay. Okay. So the time is up?
Almost.
Almost up, okay. Thank you for hearing this talk. I would really like this kind of FAQ, kind of policy, kind of document to be more maintained in Debian. It's very useful everywhere. So everyone, hack on, but write documents also, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much.